There's a famous quote by F. Scott Fitzgerald that reads, "Here's to alcohol, the rose-colored glasses of life." Bars have historically made for great gathering places, with loud music, dim lighting, and alcohol coursing through the veins of all of the inhabitants. There's a newfound level of comfort when your body is bumping and grazing against other strangers, a sensation that cannot be matched outside of the confines of this sort of environment. For some reason, when the liquor is flowing and the music is blasting, everyday social barriers like language or culture don't seem to apply in bars the way that they do in the rest of the world.
However, there is more to a bar than the bliss experienced by its customers in the late night hours. That is why, for this study, we will be examining Antigua's bar scene sans Fitzgerald's so-called rose-colored glasses. Because, like any business, bars have owners, employees, customers, and various power dynamics that cannot always be seen at their surface.
Antigua, in particular, is an extremely popular tourist location in Guatemala. There are many social cultural systems set up around Antigua in order to accommodate to tourists, and even more specifically for foreign tourists. For example, when our study abroad group has gone to bars in Antigua, those of us that look white have never been asked to show our IDs, while others in our group, who are Latino, have been asked to show their IDs even when they are entering the bars in a group with us. This just goes to show the value that is placed on tourists in Antigua over people that are local, or in this case, look like they could potentially be Guatemalan, even if they are not. This is an example of a biopolitical relationship in the Antiguan bar scene, where certain people are perceived to be lesser than their counterparts, or where their humanity is reduced due to the socially constructed power dynamics.
We ventured to 12 of the most popular bars around Antigua, Guatemala in order to obtain demographic data about the business behind the bars and to examine the biopolitical relationships of these Guatemalan bars. We conducted interviews at each of these locations and asked them 5 basic questions about where the owner is from, how long they've owned the bar, how many employees they have, how many of the employees speak Spanish as their first language, and how many of the employees are native Guatemalans.
Some of our interviews exceeded these 5 questions, as the questions led to further conversations about our project or about the establishment itself. We found that these conversations that we were able to go more in depth with typically started similar to this.
Podemos entrevistarte para nuestras clases. Es un proyecto sobre los bars y restaurantes y cafés in Guatemala.
Okay, if you want to experience it.
Okay, cool. Will you prefer English?
Or? Yeah, sure, I'm from California.
Okay, cool, yeah, we're from the US too.
Oh, cool.
Unfortunately, due to mediocre Spanish and my partner's almost zero knowledge of Spanish, we found that our conversations with native Spanish speakers were typically limited to the basic pre-written interview questions, and our conversations that we were able to go more in depth with occurred when we conducted the interviews in English with other native speakers.
Of the 12 locations that we visited, 5 of the employees that we talked to spoke English, and the other 7 were done in Spanish. Language is a powerful indicator of biopolitical relationships because the inability to communicate limits people in what they are able to do, and it typically reduces people to be perceived as lesser than those they are trying to communicate with. When we looked into employee demographics as far as Spanish as a first language goes, there was one bar that had as little as 20% of the employees who spoke Spanish as a first language, and of the 12 bars, there were only 3 where 100% of their employees are native Spanish speakers. It is important to note that of these 3 bars that had a 100% native Spanish speaker rate, all 3 of them were also owned by Guatemalans.
We learned that of the 12 bars that we went to, 7 of them were owned by Guatemalans and 5 were owned by extranjeros, which means foreigner in Spanish. Why does this matter, you ask? Because the biopolitical relationship that develops when there are foreign owners versus local owners. When there's a foreign owner, they could potentially have an impact on the socioeconomic structure of the country. If many of the big tourist grabs in Antigua are owned by extranjeros rather than locals, then there is a possibility that a large portion of the money coming from outside of the country is not going back into the country. This means that it would be flowing into the pockets of the extranjeros. This reinforces the biopolitical relationship that many Guatemalan industries already have with the rest of the world, where foreigners come into the country and take advantage of Guatemala's economy and provide little for the Guatemalans in return.
For the 5 bars that were owned by foreigners, we were only able to actually get information directly from 4 of them. And of those 4, the maximum percentage of employees that spoke native Spanish was 66%. This is important because it means that by having a diverse staff that speaks varying languages as their first language, there is an attempt by the people that run the bar to accommodate to people that speak different languages, specifically English. By giving the patrons who speak limited Spanish the opportunity to speak English, it allows them an easy escape from a potential biopolitical interaction that could be reductive to them. To the opposite side of the same coin, many native Guatemalans speak Spanish, so they could find themselves at a bar in Antigua and unable to communicate with the bartender, who does not speak Spanish as their first language. This could leave the natives in a vulnerable biopolitical dynamic despite them never having left their home country.
Katie previously said that we were only able to get direct information about 4 out of the 5 bars owned by extranjeros. This is because the other bar that we went to that is supposedly owned by extranjeros is Las Vibras. But the employees from Las Vibras told us that they were unable to disclose the information that we were inquiring about. However, when we were talking to a bartender at Snug, she told us this.
There's 2 brothers, they're both the owners. They are from Windsor, Ontario, Canada.
Oh, interesting.
Very cool. Want to be a
ref? Thanks for the info.
No problem. I have a few different
pockets of information. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have my girlfriend works there, but she's from South Carolina, but she's like the one of the few people who are from Guatemala who works there.
So according to her, even though Las Vibras is owned by extranjeros, the majority of the employees are native Guatemalans.
We received varying results about which bars employ native Guatemalans and which ones do not. Like Vinos y Tabacos, which has 6 employees, and when asked how many are native Guatemalan, the woman we spoke to said...
Ninguno.
Ninguno? Okay. Muchas gracias.
Not having Guatemalan workers means that the money from the tourism industry that could potentially create jobs and benefit Guatemalans is flowing back out of the country and into the pockets of foreigners.
However, Vinos y Tabacos is an isolated case in this study. The majority of the bars had at least 1 native Guatemalan, and not only that, more than half of the employees at 9 out of the 12 bars that we surveyed were made up of native Guatemalans. This means that even though the tourism industry is helping to create jobs in Antigua, there is still an interesting power dynamic whenever there's a large tourism industry anywhere, because of the classic idea that the customer is always right. So despite the economic benefit that the locals receive from the tourism industry, they are still put into a subservient role to the foreign tourists.
Gentrification has occurred at alarming rates in Antigua as well. For example, when we talked to a manager at Cafe Noce, he said that...
Probably one of the longest running bars in town. It's like Mono Loco's been around for quite a while. I mean, Bagel Barn, yeah, back when John started this place, there was nothing on this side of town.
Wow.
You know, all of the bars and restaurants that were here on First Street were just residences.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so this whole, First Avenue...
So even though the rising flow of tourists migrating through Guatemala has allowed a new wave of money to flow through the city, it has also come at the cost of displacement of many Antiguans who formerly lived in the city. Now, many of them can no longer afford to live here due to the business boom that has caused Antiguans to be bought out of their homes for the installation of businesses. This can be seen by the age of the bars we surveyed, with the oldest 2 being Cafe Noce and Riley's, who are both 15 years old. This just goes to show how the biopolitics between people and businesses in Antigua has changed in the past 2 decades.
Despite the potential negative connotation of this message, biopolitical relationships are inescapable, and they are not always a one-way street. To some, the tourism industry in Antigua has changed their lives for the worse, by making locals feel estranged in their own home. But for others, the recent increase in tourism has positively impacted them by creating a more diverse job market than before. The main message to take away from this information is not to stop tourism from Antigua or to prevent extranjeros from owning businesses. Rather, it is to point out that biopolitics is relevant in each interaction that we have. As long as you are aware of your place in time and space, then you can potentially reduce future repressive dynamics, whether you are an owner, an employee, or a customer. Life might be more fun with rose-colored glasses, but those rose-colored glasses are a privilege, and we should recognize when we have the opportunity to wear them.